The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show, to our top stories this hour. The Big Lead. And I was talking about fascism right before the top of the hour. I do have some breaking news for you as we get into this hour.
The Big Lead. Breaking news.
A judge has just sided with Amazon, deciding to, and they released the ruling yesterday. There's a little more coming out this afternoon, saying that if they want to deny web hosting what has become the conservative alternative to Twitter, Parler, that they are free to do so. Now, if that's true, Amazon has to lose antitrust protection, and if they are going to be the decider of what content is acceptable and what is not, then they should lose some of the protections that are given to internet companies when they are supposedly just a pass-through service. And what I mean by that is a lot of, like Twitter, Facebook, people can write horrible things. And those companies are not responsible. They say, hey, we're different from newspapers and radio stations where people can be slandered and libeled. They said, we're different. All we're doing is providing the vehicle for all the comments, and we don't have anything else to do with it. But if Amazon and Facebook and Twitter, if they are going to decide what speech is acceptable, they should no longer have that protection, because now they are acting as editors, just like a newspaper or a radio station or a television station. And all of those protections granted to these tech companies, and I do believe that these tech companies are the next big evil that we're going to fight as a nation. And if we lose the, I mean, it's all about your sovereignty. And so I have a Parler account, but I have posted very rarely on it, just because it didn't have the critical mass to make it worthwhile yet. But I did get an account early on, but I'm not losing anything by this. But I'm just telling you, this is fascism, where technology companies and a lot of, big business, including media conglomerates, they are deciding who and what is acceptable. Universities, Harvard, stripping diplomas is the desire if the recipient has a conservative ideology. I mean, it's insane. It's scary, is what it is. But this is America in 2021. And either we're going to be up for a battle on all of this stuff, or we're just going to roll over. I got a little too much fight and feistiness in me to just roll over so far. Okay, next up. Oh, no, before I get to the next thing, we're going to talk to Rod Samuelson at Spiffy's in a couple of minutes, because he had a $400,000 fine from the state of Washington because he allowed indoor dining last month. And he was in court a couple of days ago on that. So I want to talk to Rod about that. I got one thing. I just heard it in our newscast. We're going to see if we're going to get snow. I'm not a meteorologist, but I'm looking at the temperature for Seattle over Sunday and Monday when they said we might get snow. High of 42, 45 degrees. We're not going to get snow. I'll tell you right now, we're not going to get snow. I watched all the TV stations. I didn't watch all of them, but I saw one. At least, that was teasing. Will we get snow this weekend? And maybe if you're up in the highlands somewhere, if you're 1,000 feet up, but for most of us down in the flatlands, you're not going to get snow.
Hey, well, isn't that a thing, Dory, that so because it's been clear, it's able to get colder, and then as soon as the clouds roll in, we might get some snow, and then it'll probably quickly turn to rain. But that's the whole thing. If it's clear and it's a lot, like the air gets colder, and the clouds come in, and the snow comes with it.
No, I'm just telling us. I'm telling everybody we're not going to get snow.
Well, I hope I get to say I told you so, because I'd like some snow.
Oh, I would love it. That's why I'm so upset by this, because I've gotten so excited hearing the possibility. So I went online. Here, let me just pull this up. Here's the, let me get the 10-day forecast here from weather.com. They're talking about Sunday and Monday. Sunday, 41 and a rain-snow mix, low of 35. Monday, high of 41, low of 32. Rain, snow, mix. We're not going to get snow. If the low is 32 and the high is up in the 40s, and I'm mad at myself because once again, I allowed myself to get excited by the possibility of having a little bit of snow. But
I'm
telling you, I don't
slush, if anything.
I don't have a meteorology degree, but I am a poet of the skies. And I can look up into the skies and I can read them as sure as a meteorologist can read an isobar chart. And I'm just telling you right now, I'm not trying to be a wet blanket or a warm compress. What? But I'm just telling you that we're not going to get snow. Maybe if you live up in Issaquah, maybe if you live in North Bend, sure, you'll get snow. I'm just saying, Seattle, Tacoma, Everett, forget about it. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I can read the skies. Okay, with that is that is mere prelude. Let's get to a Dory Monson Show exclusive.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Well, it was over a month ago when the owner of Spiffy's Restaurant in Chehalis, he made quite a stir. He came on this radio show and announced that he was going to stay open in defiance of Jay Inslee's shutdown order for restaurants. And it is quite the firestorm that has erupted around Rod Samuelson, who has owned Spiffy's. They just had their 50th anniversary on January 1st. And Rod Samuelson joins us once again here on the Dory Monson Show. Rod, it's good to talk to you again, my friend.
Thank you. Good to be talking to you, too. I appreciate the call.
50th anniversary, and you've owned and operated the place for every one of those 50 years, right?
That's correct. I think I started on January 1st, 1971. I was working for Boeing, and we decided to raise our family in a rural area. And
yeah.
So we moved down and did that, yes.
Good for you. All right. So a few days ago, State of Washington announced that the total fines on Spiffy's and on Rod Samuelson for staying open totaled $400,419. I know you were in court a couple of days ago. What happened in that court appearance?
Well, basically, everything is forgiven as long as we stay using their terms, legal. And so if we continue to abide by LNI's edict, which is, of course, basically our governor's, and then we're okay. We're fine. And we're not liable for any of this $400,000 that they're talking about.
Okay. Before you knew that that was going to be forgiven, what's going through your mind and your heart and your soul when the state of Washington is telling you you've been creating jobs and paying taxes for 50 years there, and they're telling you that you are on the hook for 400 grand? I mean, what's going through, you know, every part of your being when you're facing that?
Well, we have to back up as to what was my motivation in doing that in, say, December 1st or November 30th, I guess it was, when I made that decision. Our employees had applied for unemployment, and they were getting the runaround.
Yeah.
They were making the phone calls. There's no doors open, of course. Everything had to be done either by phone or internet. And they were getting stymied both in both directions. And so they were desperate. There was mortgages and rent and food and all these things. Some of them, many had families. And so, because we had some employees that were 35, 34, four of them at 34, and one at 28 years with us, and several in the 20s. So these weren't just new hires. They were family, you might say, to myself and my wife.
Sure.
And so anyway, we made the decision to open, to give them some compensation for, you know, their employment. And so we did that. And it wasn't about us initially, although we profited by it. It was an excellent month.
How good was your month of December?
The best in 50 years.
Really? That's your biggest month of your 50-year history?
That's right. The people were so overjoyed that we were open, and I can't say that I heard one negative comment in all that time. I'm sure there might have been somebody. I mean, there may have been some that said, you know, my steak was too tough, or I didn't get my eggs on time or whatever. But I didn't hear any comments that were negative to us being open. We had a lot of patriots, of course, supporting the place. A lot, even the news people were very, very gracious for the most part.
Yeah.
There was a couple that were you know, slanted and spin the news, but
sure.
You know, I mean, they focused on one individual that had a gun, one individual, and I've heard about that, you know, story. I don't know how many times and how many places.
I think I talked to you that very day, and didn't you just go up to the guy and say, "Hey, we're not about that," and he put the gun back in his vehicle?
Yes, yeah, that's exactly correct.
So, last time I talked to you, Rod, you said you mentioned the Patriots had been supporting you, and you made it sound almost like this was a movement, you being open. So was it tough for you to close the doors at the beginning of January because the state had, you know, with this $400,000 guillotine hanging over you, was it tough to decide to close the doors at the beginning of this month?
Well, first, the $400,000 didn't enter my mind. I can't name one business or person that has been fined or threatened to be fined in our state that it's actually happened, first of all. You know, because we get in the Constitution, and we were going to be at a higher court level, of course, the appellate courts and stuff. And so I don't think that when it all washes out, and I'm not going to try to get into the legalities of that, but I don't think it's ever going to happen, in not just for us, but for other businesses that have chose to stay open.
So why did you close the doors at the beginning of January?
Well, you have to. There's a lot of things below the table here that we had to consider. One, I'm not a young man anymore, and this is getting to be a kind of an effort now. A lot of pressure here.
Yeah.
And we've kind of set the tone already for many, many businesses. There's a lot of businesses that are open that you don't read about. Many, many businesses that are smaller.
Right.
But, I mean, I know dinner houses that are open and other bar and restaurants, pubs. But so I just decided, well, hey, we started something and it's got some momentum. And I think we're going to just sit back. Because we got a new president, and our governor, you know where he stands. And so between the two of them, I'm just concerned what's ahead for the future.
Yeah.
And,
you and me both.
I think I want to sit and wait and see how this washes out before I go ahead and tackle them again. And I'm not afraid to do that. That's not a problem. Most of my employees now are drawn on employment, I think, or they've got other jobs.
Yeah.
And so I'm not so concerned about them anymore.
I gotcha.
But I am concerned about our future as a nation, a state and a nation, and maybe beyond.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I decided to close it down, and I think we're going to take the PPP, that's the second go around, and it's now 3.5 months rather than 2.5. And so that takes us to the middle of May. By the middle of May, I think we should have a pretty good idea which direction we're headed as a country.
Okay. I think you're right. Well, Rod, it's great talking with you. If this was indeed a movement, it started with that email that you fired off to me that at the end of November, and I've watched in a bit incredulous at how your story has just taken off here. So I appreciate you coming on with me today, and let's stay in touch. I wish you and your employees all the best going forward.
Thank you very much for your support in this. I really do appreciate that.
Absolutely. All right, Rod Samuelson, the owner of Spiffy's in Chehalis. And I tell you what, I know he said that he was getting a little old for the fight. He's 81, and he sounds fantastic. I want to sound like that when I'm 81 years old. But can you imagine just how heavy-handed the state of Washington was? With what was essentially just an empty threat to try to scare people. This guy wanted his employees to be able to pay their mortgage and feed their kids. And the state of Washington said, no, we're gonna have a massive fine every day. But how cool is that? That December 2020, 50 years in business. In fact, that was the final month of their 50th year in business, and it was their biggest month ever because people wanted to just show support. They wanted to show that this jackbooted nature of a state government, and there has not been one COVID case traced or connected to Spiffy's or to any of the other restaurants that have opened, which is why I continue to believe that none of this was about data from our data daddy. It's been about control right from the get-go. So there you go. Rod Samuelson gets his $400,000 fine forgiven by the state, but he had to close the doors to do so. But this was always about his employees. His employees weren't able to get through to the our horribly run unemployment office at the end of November. Now they were able to get on. So he's gonna follow the rules now. Follow our data daddy. But good for him. A rebel with a cause. That's what I'm talking about. I like people who are nonconformists. I like people who dare to take on government. And there's nothing about classical neoliberalism that reflects that type of mentality. Government is my mommy, my daddy, it's my alpha, my omega, and I will do whatever government tells me to do. Now that, you know, Jay Inslee is governor for a third term and Joe Biden is president, I'll do everything they tell me to do now. When it was Trump, he's evil, he's horrible. But this is neoliberalism. It's using the power and force of government to squash anybody who dares stray from the mandated pack. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We will check the news for you, and then I have an update on the Seattle riots of last night, the Bellevue teachers, and a union that is acting despicably when it comes to the kids in their district. Some teachers are showing a conscience. I respect that greatly. Details coming up on the Dory Monson Show. Oh, I'm getting a lot of feedback on comments I made a couple of hours ago. We were talking about the Bellevue School District, where parents are begging to get their kids back in school because their kids are not learning remotely. And parents have seen just horrific results. And the school district is changing F grades to a C or a B because they don't want to admit what a failure remote learning has been. But I talked specifically about the fact that today, kindergarten through second graders were to be back in class in the Bellevue School District. And the teachers' union has unlawfully ordered a strike of the teachers. Now, many teachers, but I'm told that, decent number of teachers have violated their union strike order and were in the classroom. And what I said a couple of hours ago, and this is where I know the truth hurts sometimes, but it's my job to provide some truth and to counterbalance some propaganda that is being pushed out right now by the teachers' union. And I'll give you a great example. So they have told the teachers, the union has, they've told the teachers that if you go back into the classroom, you will very possibly die. Allison Snow is the president of the Bellevue Education Association.
People feel like they're being asked to sacrifice their life just to have bodies in buildings.
They're asking the district to hold off on the return to in-person learning.
Okay, that's Cairo TV. They believe they are being asked to sacrifice their lives. Now, let's offer some balance to this because it's being unchallenged. I told you about this last week. There's a brand new peer-reviewed study from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's a gigantic study of the districts where kids are back in school. It's a study between Duke University and the University of North Carolina. They checked 11 school districts with 100,000 staff and students. There were zero instances of children passing the coronavirus to adults during in-person instruction. Zero in a huge peer-reviewed study at Duke in North Carolina released last week. They concluded, quote, schools can stay open safely in communities with widespread community transmission, unquote. That would be Puget Sound area, where they're telling us it's still bad with the COVID-19. But schools would not add to the problem. They also say, claims by teachers' unions that vaccines won't be enough to return to in-person learning are not based in fact. But the costs of remote learning have been very high. A study of 4.4 million students found that minority and low-income children are disproportionately harmed by school closures. The parents in Bellevue know that their kids aren't learning anything. And so, yes, when the teachers' union and the union president says, we believe we are putting our lives on the line, there is nothing to back that up. And people, took it as some kind of attack on teachers. Now, what I've said, I quoted a Bellevue high school math teacher on the show 2 days ago who is furious at his union, and said that he would produce original lesson plans today and tomorrow, despite the strike vote. Because there are many great teachers who want to be back in school. But, the angry emails that are coming into the radio station, a guy named Brian. As a veteran and very hardworking teacher, I was so offended by Mr. Monson's less than favorable comments about teachers this morning. I would love nothing more than to return to in-person instruction. I just want to do it when I'm sure that my beloved kids and I can do it safely. Well, every medical study says you can do it safely, Brian. And your union is not being honest. It's not being honest with its members. It's not being honest with the parents. It's not being honest with taxpayers who are taxed thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars a year to provide good schools for our kids. A teacher strike is illegal. Teachers are breaking the law today in Bellevue. Does that not count for anything? Does science, data, I'm your real data daddy. Science and data, peer-reviewed studies, 100,000 students and teachers. Not one example, zero of kids passing anything on to the teachers. And I'll say one other thing. Some people took it as criticism of teachers. I think it's reprehensible if, you know, a kindergarten, first grader, second grader, they're so excited, they want to get out of the house so bad, and mom and dad want them out of the house so bad. But they get back in school, and they're greeted by a substitute teacher, not the teacher they've been interacting with on, you know, a video chat for the last few months. So we're going to put them in school. We've already inculcated such anxiety in our kids, especially at middle school and high school, record number of kids on antidepressants, anti-anxiety drugs. University of Washington said kid ODs, child ODs, ODs and suicides at incredibly high levels during the stay at home. My criticism is not of great individual teachers who want to get back in the classroom. And it's the ones who crossed the picket line. I don't know if they were literally picketing, but they ordered a strike for today and tomorrow. Teachers who care about their kids, want to be back in class, have nothing but respect and admiration. There are some who are buying the propaganda of the union. And you need to at least know that there are lots of medical and university peer-reviewed studies that directly refute what your union is trying to tell all of us. And so teachers are upset with me. I'm just trying to counterbalance the message that the union is putting out there. And I do think that it's horrible when kids are suffering so much emotionally and intellectually. I think it's horrible to go on an illegal strike and not serve the kids because of propaganda from the union. So I hope that answers. I know it doesn't change the mind of the people who are so upset with me. But I have nothing but respect for great teachers. I think the teachers' unions are a destructive force in public policy. I've always believed that. I've always said that. And it's being reinforced right now through this pandemic. Okay, quick time out, and then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio coming up next. Before I get into a couple of awesome audio clips here, let me play a couple of others from since we've been talking about the back to school issue. Just because I was incredulous. It was a wonderful story that Channel 7 did. But just some of the things. You know, I played you the clip from the teachers union president who said that their lives are on the line if they go back to teaching. Here is a Bellevue teacher, Cheryl, who said essentially the same thing.
Anytime I go into the building, I'm putting my family at risk. So my husband, my kids.
No medical evidence to support that at all. And then this was an odd one to me.
When we return to the building, because of all the mitigation measures and the social distancing and all of the temperature taking and hand washing and all of the things that are going to need to happen in 2.5 hours, as far as academics goes, I'm going to be able to offer them a story and a worksheet.
What? Taking the temperature and hand washing is going to take up almost all of the 2.5 hours? That doesn't make any sense at all. You can take the temperature. You have the little gun. You better not call it a gun in a school. I don't know what else to describe it as. Little thing, it's got a trigger. You can take temperature of 30 kids in about 3 minutes, probably. Yeah, that's about right. 6 seconds a kid, 10 per minute. Yeah, easily. And then you tell them, go wash your hands right after we take your temperature, I guess. Here, let me listen to that again. I got to figure out how that's taken up 2.5 hours.
When we return to the building, because of all the mitigation measures and the social distancing and all of the temperature taking and hand washing and all of the things that are going to need to happen in 2.5 hours, as far as academics goes, I'm going to be able to offer them a story and a worksheet.
The social distancing is going to take up a big chunk of 2.5 hours. I'm sorry. None of that makes any sense to me. If you can explain to me, and please do, I would love to know what I'm missing on this whole story. Text me 98973 and explain to me how taking temperature, washing hands, and social distancing will take up almost all of the 2.5 hours. And then Allison Grandy was the reporter for Cairo 7.
We will all still show up to provide education.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, this is a teacher named Allison.
We will all still show up to provide educational opportunities to our students tomorrow, but we will not put our lives in person on the line for it.
Okay. And that is the message. It's from the union president. We're putting our lives on the line. And huge study last week says that simply is not true. So I want to make sure that people have, and I know some teachers are furious. Some teachers are furious at this whole thing. Okay, with that as mere prelude, let me get into our awesome audio.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
And I'll just leave you with this. It shows how the press corps, just as they were with Donald Trump, they are going to be a pack of sharks to go after the Biden administration, as proven in the first White House press conference yesterday.
Will he keep Donald Trump's Air Force One color scheme change?
This is such a good question. I have not had the opportunity to dig into that today, given the number of executive actions, orders, the inauguration, a few things happening. I will venture to get you an answer on that, and maybe we can talk about it in here tomorrow.
Whew, and maybe it should be today. We'll know if they're going to keep the colors on Air Force One. Expect hard-hitting journalism for the next 4 years out of the White House. Okay, that's going to do it for us this afternoon. Tom and Curly are coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. And we will see you back here tomorrow. Oh, by the way, tomorrow we're going to talk to a lawmaker about those King County calendars we told you about, where they have removed Easter, 4th of July, Memorial Day, Christmas from the calendars and replaced it with social justice messages. Don't miss that. Okay, Tom Curley coming up next. See you tomorrow. High noon.
Lauren was supposed to do a paper on why government matters. This is what she wrote.
It doesn't. Well said.
Is this a joke?
No, ma'am. I legitimately believe that. I'm a libertarian.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You really are a fantastic audience.